Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs. This is episode 147 for September 30th of 2020. And on tonight's episode, we're going to be talking about the home opener. TCU drops a, well, let's just say they lay an egg at home, losing 37-34 to Iowa State. We'll definitely be going over that. We got a few announcements we're going to go over, and then we're going to talk about some of the big upsets around the league and preview next week's game against Texas. And, of course, on tonight's episode, we've got TCU Hall of Famer W.C. Nix. Good evening, Dubber.
Good evening. The sun came up Sunday, but barely. Yeah. I mean, barely. Well, we got another week, so I'm happy again.
Yeah, I was up before the sun rose on Sunday morning, so... I didn't get a chance to see that. Maybe that might explain my mood this week. Also on tonight's episode, we've got Hunter Nix. How you doing, Hunter?
What's going on? I'm just excited we get to play our little brother this week.
Yes. I like that. Man, we'll keep that. We also have TCU football alumni Nathan Hernandez. Hey, Nathan.
Hey, sorry. Lakers just made a turnover. That was what the hand gestures were for.
That's all good. And rounding out the group, we have TCU chair alumni Ryan Zeller. Hey, Ryan.
Hola, everybody. Good to see we're all
bilingual.
I know a few words. That's it.
I got my son's Spanish study guide over here, so I can ask where the library is, and I do know how to order a beer in Spanish, so we can knock that
off. I know cerveza, that's really it. Yeah, hey, so did you notice on your latest on the latest iPhone update, did you notice the new app to translate?
No.
That's kind of cool. Yeah, it's there. Oh, do you have an iPhone, Sean? You're techie. Mm-hmm. You probably have a Samsung. Or do you have
an iPhone? No, I have an iPhone.
Okay, good. But yeah, it showed up on my second page. It's called Translate, and it has, I mean, every kind of language you can possibly think of. So I'll have to try that out sometime.
Well, that'll be nice. I'll have to check that out. So that's our tech corner this week. And moving on to announcements, Ryan, do you have any? Ryan, what do you have?
All right. So we do have some other sports playing around. And I will start with last week, our women's golf team took second place at the Norman Invitational up there at OU. And then the men's team took fourth place at the Colonial Collegiate Invitational right here in Fort Worth. This is kind of fun. Frogs in the NFL. We have so many frogs in the NFL that I couldn't we'd be here all night if I ran through every single one of them who has been drafted or who is on a team. So I'm just going to call out their name and the team if they actually had playing time this week. So we all remember Ben Banigou, one of our favorites. He plays for the Colts. We've got Ross Blacklock for the Houston Texans. LJ Collier for the Seahawks, and they beat our Cowboys on Sunday, so we lost on Saturday to Ohio State, and our Cowboys lost to somebody. Mute their phone.
That sounded like an iPhone.
Jeez, people. Anyway, just kidding. So
LJ Collier, come on now.
With the Seahawks, beat our Cowboys, and just was not a very good game on Sunday. Jeff Gladney as a Titan. And then Jerry Hughes plays for the Buffalo Bills. And then he's our longest tenured frog in the NFL in his 11th season, which I didn't realize that till I was catching up on this. So that's pretty cool. Joey Noteboom for the LA Rams, Matt Pryor for the Eagles, Jalen Reagor for the Eagles, Austin Schlottman for the Broncos. Then one of my favorites, and I got to talk about this one for a second, was Ty Summers, the Packers. He led the team with 9 tackles in a win over the Saints, and it was so much fun to see him. He is, I'm sure everybody remembers Ty. He's just a great kid. I mean, he's not even a kid anymore, but just a great leader, and I'm just so glad to see that he has, led with tackles for the Saints, and of course they won that game. And then And then I was reading, we called him Vitae, right? When he played for TCU. Hala.
Let's call him Big V.
Big V, yes. Yeah. So I'm going to try to say his name is Hala Puluvitae, whatever. Anyway, it's a very long name, but he's just a great guy too.
You know, quick aside here, Ryan, on the pronunciations. The absolute best night was a few years ago when we were playing at SMU. And what a lot of people don't know is that in the box office, the box office has an announcer. So it's not the same announcer that you guys get in the stadium. It's a very specific individual who is tasked with telling the press exactly what just happened in each play and who are the major players and how many yards and all those kind of things. Gives us some basic stats. The SMU announcer could not pronounce anybody's name on the TCU team that night. And every single time Big V's name came up, at some point in time, he was just like, and he just started calling out numbers. You audibly heard him go, and then just called out a number. It was like, come on, at least try. But
I mean, anyway, there are so many syllables in his first name. I mean, it's like the whole alphabet right there. It's a tough one. So anyway, Big V plays for the Detroit Lions, and then lastly Jason Verrett for the 49ers. They all saw some good playing time. Some of them won, some of them didn't, but some of it was their debuts as starters. So exciting week to follow your Horned Frogs in the NFL. Then over the next several days we have 8 games. So starting on Friday, which will be tomorrow when y'all are listening to this, October 2nd. It's men's golf versus the Big 12 in a match play tournament, and it'll last the whole weekend. So try to catch up with it on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Women's tennis at the TCU Invitational. So that'll be right here in Fort Worth. Women's volleyball at Baylor. And you can watch them on ESPN, and they play Friday and Saturday. And then women's soccer at Iowa State. And they are on TV. They're on ESPN2. And they're doing really, really well. I think they're ranked like number 11 in the nation right now. So they are having a great season. And then on Saturday, of course, we have TCU at UT, 11 a.m. on Fox. So make sure you are having some really fun watching parties. Follow TCU. I know there's some different organizations in TCU that want to see everybody's home tailgates, and I think you can win some cool stuff if you have the best tailgate. Just be sure to follow at TCU Golf, at TCU Soccer, at TCU Volleyball, TCU Beach Volleyball on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Sean, I hand it back to you.
Well, thank you, Ryan. Well, so let's talk a little bit about what happened on Saturday. Gary Patterson upset every single bettor in the nation by foregoing an extra point or 2-point conversion there at the end of the game. But other than that little side note, TCU ends up dropping the game 37-34 in the season opener against Iowa State in a game that had a lot of Frog fans scratching their heads. I think there was a lot of questions that we had after this game. We don't still have a lot of answers to those particular questions. Patterson's come out, pretty much put the loss on his shoulders. I think following the game, if you look at the board, I think the vast majority of the Frog Nation would agree with him on that assessment. But it was an odd game where we had a lot of players that were absent from the field, a lot of players that did not see playing time like we expected, where you end up with Max coming in the second half, missing the entire first half, and looked like things were going to be turning around, but then mental errors and one weird 20-20 play after another, and next thing you know, we lose by 3. So let's take this down one piece at a time. Hunter, why don't you start us off here? First half, we know Downing's going to get the start. The idea was is that Max was cleared, but probably wasn't going to be playing very much, if at all. Downing comes in. He looks like a manageable backup, but things don't quite go his way.
Exactly. Downing, yeah. Hey, I will say this. Downing, he's a Division I quarterback. I don't know that he's a starter at TCU, but he can get the job done if Max were to go down. But it's going to be a different offense. You know, I will say this. I like the offense, the way that we called it. The game, I didn't feel that that TCU called a bad game offensively. I mean, we still scored, what was it, 34? The last touchdown doesn't really, you know, whatever. But still, the offense looked much better.
Still good pass.
And then, yeah, exactly. I mean, exactly. The offense, it looked better. The play design looked better. There were some definite rough spots. The offensive line, very rough this first game. A lot of new faces. And, you know, we gave up six sacks. What was it? I don't even remember at this point. Six? You know, it was a lot of sacks. So not great. But for a first game, the offense performed better than I thought it might. I would have never thought if you scored 34 that we would have lost this game. Never. I mean, and I'll say this as well. Max, yes, he only played a half, but that was his best half of football in a TCU uniform to date. I mean, you know, 16 for 19, should have been 17 for 19. The one of the, you know, Tay Barber, hey, we're going to need him. So get back on, big dog, because we need him big time this week. We need him for the rest of the year. And, you know, that was a pick that he shouldn't, you know, that wasn't his fault, but three touchdowns, 16 for 19, 241 yards and a half a play against a defense that's supposed to be a really good defense. So I'm trying to look at the positives going into the next week. We looked ugly, still scored 34, and Max had his best half of football to date. I mean, I will say the two passes he threw for touchdowns to Artie Lynn and Tay Barber, both of those are touch passes that I don't think he threw last year.
No. No, in fact, I think going into the first half, a lot of people were kind of like groaning a bit because it didn't look like his accuracy was there yet. It kind of had shades of the end of 2019 season. But then as as he got a second and a third series in, all of a sudden now he's hitting passes, he's hitting people in stride, he's not overthrowing the ball, he's not lofting it up. It looked really, really clean from that point on. And I want to go back to one of the things you mentioned, and Dubber, let me bring you in on this. Six sacks against a three-man rush. As an offensive lineman, how much does that upset you?
Well, I mean, I wasn't happy about it. I mean, I don't even fathom how you allow that to happen. And now, I will say this. Two sacks, possibly three, but two for sure was not the offensive lineman's fault. When the quarterback starts leaking backwards, and you start backpedaling, you know, he ran into the offensive tackles guys running around outside. So I won't give them all that, but still, I don't understand how, you know, I don't know. I mean, like you said, it was a growing pain to watch some of the guys. And the bad thing is one guy, he's been around for a while. I mean, so it was a bad deal. But I'll tell you what happened. Freaking Max came in. When he came in, I mean, that shored up a lot of problems because he could move. Max could move better than Downing. That's the one huge advantage I saw.
And anticipated better than Downing.
Yeah, he could scramble around. He moved in. Downing got a little worried. He'd backpedal. Well, then he's backpedaling into sacks. Like I said, two of the sacks were not the offensive line's fault, more as it was quarterback backpedaling into it. But, you know, we got to clean up that. I don't understand how you can have three-man rush and, you know, and you allow that many sacks. I mean, that's crazy. But I do want to go back to the Max deal. You know, I understand they're not wanting to play him that much and they're worried about his conditioning. But it would have been my philosophy to start him and play as long as he could and spell him that way instead of not knowing how long he could go. You know, so he went a half. Right? If you start him, maybe he can only go a half. Then you got to get him out of there. You got to get him some breaks. Or maybe he goes the whole way. You just monitor him the whole way and make sure it's okay. But
and then you lean on your five running backs you've got.
Yeah.
Well, and I agree with that too. But, I mean – you know, we're talking about, like Hunter said, I mean, me and Hunter talked about this right after the game. I mean, Max did things in this game that he never did last year. I mean, he's shown so much growth in one half of a game That's why I get excited. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I think we got a chance to be I agree with Hunter, too. I did not see – did we see a bubble screen? Wide receiver bubble screen?
No, we did. We did one.
Okay.
But it worked.
It worked because we only did one.
That's okay, right.
One time. No crazy wide receiver bubble screen. We threw the ball down the field when we threw it.
In the middle. In between the hashes.
Not a lot of laterals.
So I was really pleased with the offense, really, except for the sacks with the linemen. And I think Max takes care of a lot of that because, you know, he took off running several times, and that, you know, that deters their guys from just peeling back and doing what they were doing the first half. I mean, especially. And then Downing hit the run game. When he got hit a couple times, he got happy feet, and he started happy feet backwards. And then it just, I mean, he backpedaled into two sacks for sure. And so, you know, it's not an excuse for the lineman, but at the same time, it sure helps if the quarterback knows how to step up and maneuver up into the line instead of going backwards and put yourself in the sack potential.
But so I do want to bring up as well, you know, Max played great in the half that he played. But, you know, as we kind of said, I would have started him because if you start off 21 with 21 points in the first half, three TDs, whatever, 16 for 19.
Maybe not you have that fumble at the end of the first half.
Exactly. Maybe you're not down 16 to 7 at the half. Exactly. Like, maybe you can start off from ahead and then let your defense play. But we didn't do that. Yeah. But there were also –
offensively, that's what I'm more disappointed about, even than the sack is not playing Max right off the bat and then monitoring and let's go backwards on that. And I understand.
True.
Maybe they knew more about it than we did, but at some point in time, they decided that Max's health was good enough that they were going to put him in the second half because we needed to try to win a football game.
Exactly. He didn't get cleared at halftime.
Yeah.
So, but also – so Max did play at least a half. There were a lot of guys that I thought were going to play a lot more. And Sean had kind of, you know, hit on that early on saying, you know, we had some guys that we thought were going to get some playing time and did not. Zach Evans, zero carries. Every other running back got a carry. Not saying that, you know, not saying that. That's a little weird to me that you're one five-star guy ever. He was the number 16 player in the country. He was the number one player in the country at one point. And GP says he's been out, so he's had a contact tracing. He's been out quite a bit from practice. But, I mean, he may not know the offense, but he can remember a couple of plays. And I want to – you know, he's got the fastest 5'10", 5 shuttle of like the last 10 years of what would have been at the draft. The dude is a special talent. So I want to see him. And then, you know, also Pro Wells, mysteriously absent from the game. We did get JD Spielman a little bit involved, but the dude is, you know, an all Big Ten punt returner, kick returner. Why is he not returning kicks? Tavelius Hunt, starter last year, did not play a snap. And then defensively, you go look, Jaquay Sorrells, Patrick Jenkins, both big-time recruits coming in at D-tackle, didn't play a snap. Kari Coleman, Colt Ellison. Colt started four games for us last year. Kari, you know, came in and had a great camp, supposedly, didn't play. Keon Stewart, did not play. Marcel Brooks played three plays on the day, and he had two tackles. So I'm just wondering where those guys are at. You know, we've got talent. These guys all, you know, Jaquay Sorrells, Patrick Jenkins, Kari Coleman, those guys have not played for us yet. Zach Evans as well. But the rest of those guys, they played a bunch last year, and they were nowhere to be found. So just kind of hoping we get to see them this week. But I don't know. I mean, COVID is Gary's favorite thing ever because he gets to keep everything a secret. And so,
and he gets to blame it on everything.
Yeah, exactly.
That's one thing. You don't know why they weren't playing.
We don't know why at all.
Right. But
I will say this, the guys in front of them didn't get it done this week. So I'd like to see him play. I mean, the running backs, 16 carries for 77 yards. That's not mind-blowing. I'm not saying Zach Evans should have had 10 carries. But
well, he had 21 carries by the quarterback.
Exactly. Exactly. And then, you know, we're trying to save Max for save Max. Well, his first three plays were designed runs. If we're worried about him playing, why are the first three plays he does design runs for him? I mean, if he's not healthy, that doesn't make sense to me. So, you know, I'm interested to see. I feel like we got too cute for our own good. Yeah, Gary, you got too cute. But, you know, I feel like he was trying to not show Texas something. And, you know, I hope we actually, like, pull it all out this week.
You know, that's one thing that really kind of bugs me is the mentality that, you know, you gotta save something so you don't show it to another team. You just go out there, you do your best every single week. Because if you don't, you have games like this that'll just jump up and bite you in the butt. And if that's the case, then nobody is saying that that is the actual case. But if that happened to have been the case, then that would have disappointed me far more than, you know, six sacks and, you know, ridiculous fumbles off of people's feet and things like that. That's just ridiculous.
You know, we could talk about the fumble off the six sacks, but really, let me tell you, the game wasn't lost by the offense.
No. It was defense all the way.
Definitely not.
I mean, the defense had a rough day. I mean, you know, I expected a couple of big plays. But this is about longest. I mean, this is one of them games that I can't remember, you know, in the past, us giving up that many big plays in one game. I mean, we gave up. If you cut three plays out, we win the game. Mm-hmm. You cut one play out, we win the game. You cut five defensive plays out, and we probably blow them out. I mean, I'm just talking about big plays after big plays. You know, I never seen a running back be so wide open. I mean, to be able to run down the sideline, you know, they figured out a scheme. They just figured out a couple of things, what we were doing, I guess, scheme-wise. And
well, in that case, it looked like the linebackers are completely out of position. And that happened on more than one play. There was confusion several times before the snap where people were pointing and going, no, you need to be over here, and I need to be over there. And it was like, guys, come on. You're supposed to have figured this out by now.
Yeah, but what they were doing is what I saw. They'd have wide receiver run him like he was running a drag route across the middle.
Yep.
Quarterback would be manned up and just take off running with it. And as soon as that happened, they had it all blocked, cut outside. There ain't nobody.
Yeah. I mean, linebackers getting caught up in all the trash from the guy coming in.
Way out there, they'd have all the flow going one way, like a pass, and then they'd give the running back, let him pop out the backside. Before you know it, there wasn't no. I mean, they were manned up and they were running everybody across the field.
Yep.
They did that more than once.
Uncharacteristic defense for TCU. You don't see this very often. There have been very few times that the defense has ever gotten work like this. You know, last year OSU was probably the first time I thought that. But
we get torched by the running backs.
Who?
Every time we play Oklahoma, we get torched by the
running backs. Every time we play Oklahoma, everyone gets torched. It feels like their offense is unstoppable, but. You know,
last week.
Hey, they still scored 35. Just Spencer Rattler.
My issue, going back to the offense real quick, is aside from the O-line play, which was terrible, at the end of the game, you've got like 40 seconds left. You have to take a shot down. You're down 9. You have to take a shot for the end zone. There were several occasions where I saw – John and a corner one-on-one in the end zone. You got to put it, dude. He's got a foot over that corner. Like, you just have to put it up to him. At least take a shot. And the one time we did take a shot, we scored, but there were 0 seconds left on the clock. So I would have liked to have seen a shot down the field earlier, kind of when we were around like the 40 or 50. And then we kept checking down, but it wasn't getting us anywhere. There were so many times where Max would be scrambling and rolling out. where you just got to put one up to the end zone. Like they didn't, they weren't playing prevent defense. They had maybe one person, one or two people in the end zone with John or whoever was that, whoever else was back there. I just would have. I just would have liked to see them take a shot earlier, because then you have to get the ball back, and then you have to kick it onside, and then you have to go down and get a field goal, and you can't do all that within 30 seconds. Like, you can, but you're gonna make more problems for yourself the more you put it off. And so that was what I wanted to see at the end of the game. They did it finally, but there was 0 seconds left on the clock, and Sean had mentioned earlier that GP not going for it. The refs on the field said that they weren't going to let us go for it or anything because we were down three, so it wouldn't matter if we went for one or two.
But definitely the betters mad.
They were furious. That was my other big issue with this game. And I, like, even last year being in the press box, Sean heard me say a lot of issues with refs. These refs, I don't know what it is. I was talking with Patrick Zeller about it. There's got to be some, like, conspiracy that goes super high up that they just have it out. Like, they will not call anything for us. I saw several helmet-to-helmets on receivers that just caught the ball. Clear as day, helmet-to-helmet, like, right in front of a ref. There was one punt. I don't remember. I don't remember if we received or we kicked off or whatever. But three refs standing and looking at one of our players and one of their players, not near, like, they're kind of like on the outskirts of the huddle, whatever. And the Iowa State player shows our dude in the face, right in front of three refs. They don't call crap. They don't do anything because they just want to call it if he retaliates. They don't call the person that freaking does the first thing. They only call it on the person that retaliates. But he didn't do anything. Our player actually was very smart and just, like, kind of, like, took it and then just, like, kind of put his hands up and then just started walking back to the huddle. I was like, dude, you're not going to call. Like, he literally just shoved him in the face. Like, I was so mad. But, yeah.
They need to be the soccer players. Have you ever noticed how dramatic soccer players are, especially in the Olympics?
Basketball players need to take lessons.
Yeah, well, our punters need to do that more, too. But then there was the whole thing with, I played quarterback for 5 years. Never once have I heard of the rule where if you don't get the snap cleanly and you spike it, it's an intentional grounding.
Yeah.
Well, I think the reason for that was because he kind of moved outside of that box, because when he picked the ball up, he was kind of out of position at that point, and then they considered that intentional grounding. But, yeah, I agree with you. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, you will never see that happen again to any other team.
Well, let me tell you,
it really felt like the refs were just making stuff up out there.
One thing they did, I agree with you, I wish I'd see more of, is when we're sitting about on our own 35-yard line, third and whatever, and you don't have the short pass, let's just go for the deep pass, because even if they intercept it, it's third down, and you intercept it 40 yards down the field, it's just like a punt. But at least you're going up 50-50. There's sometimes, not even just at the end of the game, because I agree with you totally, but there's sometimes when you take that calculated chance that, hey, you know what, it's third and 15 or third and 12.
Honestly, if we're inside our own 40, we should never punt anyways. So it should be – we should be going for it on third and fourth. We gained 12 yards on a punt last week. We're 37, and it went out of bounds at the 22. We gained like no yards. There's no point.
I know. Sandy had some pretty good punts on Saturday.
I did like Garrett Wallace play. He was one of the few people that I saw that came out fired up, ready to play, or at least looked like he wanted to be there.
Well,
everybody
else
too. Yeah.
We have a problem. You know, we have to figure out how to get pressure with our defense men, because if we don't, or with somebody on the defense, because if we don't, our defense is set up to put our cornerbacks on an island, and they are not going to be able to hold up for all day if we don't get a pass rush. You know, I mean, I felt sorry for the quarterbacks a couple times. Had pretty good coverage. They threw some good balls. And all of a sudden they get completed, and you're thinking, well, crap, the, you know, the quarterback, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's because the quarterback stood back there. He's got his 4 seconds to throw the ball. No pressure on him. He throws the ball perfectly. The ball's a good throw. They practice it like that every day. Our defensive line has to get pressure on the quarterback. If they don't, we get ourselves in trouble because we play a lot of man out on the corners.
Well, that's a good point. I don't think we have had consistent pressure from the defensive line since 2014.
His name is Marcel Brooks. Put him in there.
Yes.
The only time he did a little pressure, and then when we blitzed a couple of times. But besides that, we didn't have any pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of our bend, don't break philosophy on Saturday. We broke.
Yeah, we broke a lot. We bend and broke.
Yeah.
But I think this week can be better. It was the first game. We had some personnel that did not play. I think they will this week. And, you know, Herman's kind of GP's little brother. I was going to say something else there.
Another word for that.
We're a family podcast, though, so.
When we want to be.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Unlike my relative that's on this podcast, so I won't mention his name, I've never read a GP, ever, right now.
Hey.
It was the first game, and I get frustrated, yes, but I've been here a long time. I've seen the good, I've seen the bad. I've seen the bad when we're non-competitive. I've seen the bad. Last year was bad, but very competitive. And I always tell people this all the time. Last year was worse for me only because we were in all the games except for one. We lost 7 games. I mean, all those games by 1 touchdown or less, 7 points or less. I said, that's the beautiful thing about Patterson's football team. They're going to play hard the whole game. The bad thing is it rips your heart out because you sit there and watch the game to the end because you know they're going to play until the end. You know, the only game I didn't get real upset with last year was Iowa State because they just kicked the crap out of it. You know, here we are. We had our chance, and we lose by 3, and it ripped your heart out again. But don't get me wrong. I still think Patterson's a good coach, and I know that he's done some
for stuff
differently. And I agree with the backs deal. And I know that I've heard COVID. I heard that some guys might be suspended. My whole deal is, I think there's different types of in trouble. I just like for you to run them to death from Monday to about Thursday, and let's put a people out on the field on Saturday.
Agreed.
I mean,
I like that idea.
Yeah. I mean, well, the COVID time.
Depending on what they do, yeah.
Yeah, if you hear it right, in COVID time, you're asking a bunch of 19, 18-year-old kids, 21, hey, don't go to anybody's apartment. Don't go over that girl's house, apartment. Don't go over this, you know, blah, blah, blah. No. You got to sit at home and do nothing. And I'm not saying they shouldn't. But do people realize how their brains were wired back?
But I know what I would have done, and I know what you would have done, and I know what Nathan would have done, and I know what Sean would have done. Ryan, I'm giving you
the benefit of the doubt. Hey, don't bring me into this.
I know what Ryan would have done. They've been knocking on Ryan's door.
It would be tough not to socialize, especially if you're in the dorm. I mean, that's the best part about college, is hanging out in people's rooms.
So, I just want to know, Ryan never denied anything this time.
Okay, at that, I'm going to move on. I do want to bring a bright spot of last week. We did get a new recruit. Yes, very small class this year, so we're going to get to know all these people very well. We got a tight end / offensive tackle. He plays tight end for Argyle High School. His name's Jasper Lott. He's a 6'5", 255-pound tight end, so big boy. And he's got an NFL pedigree. His dad is the strength coach for the Chargers. So, it's going to be a really good commit for TCU. He's he's an NFL talent, probably at the offensive tackle position, and definitely a D1 talent at tight end. They basically said, as of now, he's going to play tight end until he outgrows it, or if he does outgrow it, which my prediction is that he does, because he's a 6'5", 255 senior in high school. And he's going to get in the weight room at TCU. You know, I'm not saying he's not in the weight room now, but he's going to get that meal plan. He's going to, he's going to gain some weight, I think. And I think he's going to be a really, really good, recruit for us. These are one of the guys we need to get. You know, he said he wants to come to TCU because he sees that we send guys to the NFL. So that's awesome. Just wanted to, tell you guys a little bit about Jasper Lott. He's going to be a stud, so remember.
So what other schools was he looking at? Why did he choose TCU?
So he had offers from big schools: Arkansas, mm-hmm. Auburn, Colorado, Houston. Those are his top five. But mm-hmm. I mean, the guy had, you know, he had 15 to 20 offers at this point. You know, I can't remember exactly how many, but a lot of Power Five offers. Ole Miss, you know, Minnesota, LSU went to their camp and got offered. You know, so this guy has a lot of big time offers, and it was great that the Frogs got him. He's got NFL pedigree, and he's gonna have NFL size at probably two different positions. But I see him being an offensive tackle, and from Argyle, Texas, so local boy.
That's it's nice awesome. To have a silver lining after that debacle on the weekend. So thank you for bringing that up, Hunter. Appreciate that. A couple other silver linings. Let's talk about some of the upsets that happened around the league. We had LSU going down to Mississippi State, but the two big games that happened over the weekend were in the Big 12, where Texas pulls off a comeback win against Texas Tech in overtime, and the big shocker, OU loses to K-State? Yeah. That was a crazy game.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like Iowa State with us. K-State, they've got Oklahoma's covered the last few years. I mean, they, for whatever reason, they let them hang around, and when they let them hang around, all of a sudden they got confident like they did last year. They're like, hey, we beat these guys last year. We can do it again this year. You know, they got a young quarterback, Oklahoma does, a new quarterback. And K-State's my second favorite team in the conference right now because they did beat Oklahoma. And I just, you know, I mean, just that pompous, smirky.
I'm also a fan.
Yeah, I mean, I am happy. Then,
Tech, well, they have the right almost, color.
Let me preface this by saying I do not like Tech. I don't like Tech like most people don't like Baylor. I have my own personal reasons, but I do not like Tech. They could have went a long way in helping that out with me if they went ahead. But they just laid an egg with you.
I mean, absolutely gave it away.
Laid an egg.
They gave it away.
And we feel, I promise you, they laid an egg. They feel flat.
I mean, let's be real. If you're waking up in Lubbock, Texas, you're always feeling worse than in Fort Worth. So that's number one, okay? But, yes, they totally gave that game away. Texas had no business winning that game, being down by as much as they were. But Tech's going to Tech, you know? That's all you can say.
Well, one good thing about that, I do like about that, because, you know, I mean, I don't want to say it right, but you know, it's just like us. We lost the game. I guarantee you, our guys are going to be ready to get out there and get back on the field and try to pull off a win now. And I'm not saying Texas isn't, but they just came off a huge win that they know they shouldn't have. And it'll be interesting to see if they come out high, flat, little arrogant, little this or that. Where I know how we're going to come out. We're going to come out hungry. I mean, there's no doubt we're coming out hungry. But for Texas, it's going to be interesting to see how they come out this week.
Well, that's a pretty good segue into talking about Texas. Yeah, go ahead, Ryan.
Oh, well, I was just wondering with the new COVID rules, and Gary probably touched on this and I missed it, but We're playing at 11 a.m. on Saturday. So what do y'all think? Will they go in on Friday night and spend the night in a hotel, or will they likely drive in? They will. I didn't know if they were changing that all up.
They'll be there Friday morning. They'll be there Friday sometime. They'll want to get there. They'll go down. Okay. They'll have a walk through the stadium.
Good.
Stay down there, and they'll spend a night at the hotel down there somewhere.
Because I had heard that they not staying in hotels for home games? I'd heard that they weren't.
I don't know for home games, but away, they're still going to go. They'll probably go earlier than normal. They'll probably go earlier than normal just because they probably take their test. I know they're doing tests Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So they'll probably take their test Friday morning, and then as soon as they get results back, head on down to Austin, get in the hotel, quarantine there, you know, just stay there. I would guess they're going to drive, though. I don't know this, but I guess they drive. It just seems
probably 3 hours down 35. You would assume
they exactly. You assume they drive. And then, I would say they're business as usual after that. Just because the hotels, I don't think they're being frequented either. So,
there, but there's been so many crazy rules. I almost think that they'd still be safer spending the night in a. I'm shocked they're not staying the night before at a hotel for home games.
I think the bubble they've kind of got, the quarantine they've got set up here, I think is probably a safer bet than trusting what a hotel might be.
Where are they staying? I mean, they go home to their apartments or their dorms, right? On Friday night before the game? Are they doing that?
Yeah, I don't know how they're.
Well, that scares me.
I trust them. They seem to be doing well.
Right.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I will see
how it goes. Myself back then.
I do. But you trust them Friday night.
I agree. I mean, like, Iowa State was coming off a loss, came back, looked good against us. K-State was coming off a bad loss, came back and, you know, railroaded OU. So I agree. I think we'll bounce back and be fine. So.
Me too.
Well, and the second week is your biggest improvement. You know, played the first and second week, and that was the only thing I was worried about a little bit. You never know how you're going to come out first game. And you can say everything you want to, but we got new linemen, got a new quarterback starting, got new this and that. It's, you know, you can't look at last year's team. I mean, you can, but it's a whole new dynamic, really. It's kind of like Oklahoma. You can look at last year's team, but then for the first time in about 4 or 5 years, they're not going to have the Heisman Trophy candidate running their offense. You know, they're going to be like everybody else. They got a guy that's going to have to learn as he goes on, you know, through the season.
So you're saying the rest of the league has a chance.
Yeah, I think so. And touching on Texas in general, you know, they played good, you know, against UTEP, but that's UTEP. I will say that as an alumni. We're not a powerhouse or anything.
Certainly, you know, not since you left.
They're doing better, actually, but they're not good. But Texas, they beat UTEP. You know, UTEP's 2-1, but they're a Conference USA team. But they also gave up 56 points to Tech. So, you know, I feel like this that defense is primed to get scored on. And yes, they've scored a lot of points, but they've also played Tech and UTEP. So I think we're going to be the best defense they've played, and I think they're going to be the worst we've played so far. So. In that regard, I feel better about it, and also I just don't like Sam Ellinger, so I really want to beat
him.
Was
he a 6-year senior now? I forgot.
Yeah, exactly. I just want him gone, but also, I mean, not that I really care. You know, he's kind of the whipping boy of us at this point. I think we've got a really good chance against Texas. We're going to make a lot of improvements, I think, and I think Texas is not as good as they are predicted, you know, as usual. So, they're ranked 8th because the Pac-12 and the Big Ten aren't playing.
Yeah, and we're good on the road. The weather's going to be great. I think it's going to be a good weekend for us. So, Let's make some predictions.
But that's the deal. We're good with Texas. I mean, we've had their number. Mm-hmm. I don't think that changes. I think Patterson's figured them out.
So I have a question for y'all. Okay. With COVID and social distancing, do you think Del Conte puts the band back up three steps away from heaven again?
Does our band get to travel?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know if they are traveling.
I'm doubtful of that.
I doubt they will. Dumb, but whatever.
Yeah. Iowa State wasn't even ready.
No, but I don't think Iowa State's come the last couple years either. So
yeah. I'm almost positive. I almost bet you that they don't get to travel.
Yeah. That's too bad since it's in state. But all right, well, let's go. Let's move on to predictions. And as we wrap up this week's podcast, so Nathan, prediction: TCU at UT.
I'm going to go a little high scoring than I went last time, kind of similar to the one last week. I'll go 38-31 TCU.
All right. A little bit of higher scoring game. Hopefully, if Max plays all four quarters, hopefully we'll see more than 38.
Yeah, get me going a little bit. Texas defense shouldn't be as good as Iowa State's. So I think we'll put up more points, but I don't know. They seem like they can move the ball pretty well. So since I haven't seen us stop that much yet, I want to be hopeful, but I'm a pessimist at heart. So.
So I'll say Nathan's prediction is half full, or half empty. Ryan, what do you have?
Oh my gosh. I'm going to go. Oh my gosh. 40.
Ooh.
I know. I think if Duggan is playing the whole game, and if Texas can put up that many points on Tech, we can too. So
Ryan, you kind of just changed my mind. You're making me add points because I was gonna.
I gotta figure out the math on my fingers real quick though. Like how many field goal, blah blah blah. So
carry the one.
Carry the one. Subtract the three. Yeah, I'm thinking. I'm gonna go 45. I think defense is going to come out freaking lights out because they've gotten their asses kicked this week by Gary. So I'm going to say 17.
Ooh.
That'd be so much fun. I hope I win.
That would be really nice. All right, Hunter, how many points did Ryan have you add?
So I was going to go 38, but she bumped me up. I'm going 42 now.
Nice.
I'm going to say 42-28. I was going to go 38-28, very similar score to last year, but now 42-28 Frogs. And, you know, I called the defensive touchdown last weekend, and I'm going to call this week that Max basically throws – Max is going to account for every touchdown, running or passing. Okay.
Nice.
All right. I like that. Dubber?
Woo! Well, hey, I will say this. Last week, I was real close on the offensive side. I was only 3 points off. Like I said 31, and we scored 34. Yeah. But now the defense laid an egg on me. So this week, I'm going to go – what'd you say, Hunter? Crap. I don't
know. I said 42-28.
Shoot. I'm going to go 42-31 because I think they're going to get to the field goal. No, I'm not. I'm going to go 42-34. I'm kind of the deal that I got to see us stop somebody now. Until we get a true pass rush, people are going to score on us.
Oh, I agree. I agree 100%. They're definitely going to score on us. But Hunter kind of stole my thunder because I was going to predict 42-27.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Do it.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm gonna stick with it because I predicted 40 points last week, and I think if Duggan had stayed in both halves, I think we would have hit that. I don't think that would have been an issue. Yes, and I agree with Hunter. I think this is going to be the worst defense we've seen, albeit one out of two. So I think we have a chance to hit 40 again. But I'm kind of with Ryan on this. I think Patterson's got the defense whipped into shape, and as Hunter pointed out, Patterson kind of has UT's number the last few years. I mean, last year notwithstanding. So, yeah, I like that. 42-27, TCU comes out. Offense just kind of steamrolls. Get your horns down. There you go. And I think the defense kind of picks up, and I think UT does come out flat. Dubber, I think you make a good point. They're coming off of that overtime win at Tech, and I think they're feeling good. They're at home. They're looking at TCU's coming off of a loss, and especially the season we had last year. I think that little T-SIP confidence is going to do them in. So I'm going to do 42-27 TCU.
They're still not back.
You know what? No. One of the things that you forget about really and truly that I try to factor in, that I keep trying to factor in, they did the first game. But after we talked about it, you know, with no fans in the stand or 25%,
yeah,
that makes a big difference.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, I think that, you know, because it's almost like every game's neutral to a point. Yeah. I mean, it's not like, you know, like Texas, they're not going to have their 100,000 people sitting up there at us, you know, and, you know, stuff like that. It's kind of like K-State, Oklahoma. You know, they didn't have their 100,000 or 80,000 or 60,000 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, so
the that stadium is not constructed well to keep the noise in from just 20,000 people.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
So y'all might be closer. I almost want to renege, but I'm going to stay with my score.
All right.
So real quick, so I will put this up on the Scott and Wes fan forum in the morning and get everybody else to tell us what their predictions are. What should the tiebreaker be? Should somebody pick the same score?
Ooh, tiebreaker, just do turnovers.
That's what I did last week. You like that? Turnovers from total?
Four sacks. Defensive scores is what you said?
Yeah.
I was going to say pick sacks.
Okay.
Yeah. For or sacks. Against.
It's about as good as defensive scores.
Yeah.
Like, how about, okay, this I can do one this week and one the next week. I have to make it good enough of a tiebreaker so that they don't tie and tie again in the tiebreaker. Yeah. So sacks, total sacks, or how many sacks we get or they get?
How many sacks we give up?
Yeah, how many sacks we give up?
Okay.
Because I feel like that's the most violent one for them to pick as well.
How many sacks?
Yeah, I'm agreeing with Nathan. I think we give up 3 sacks.
I'm going to say we give up 4, but still 1.
I'm hoping it's 0.
We're keeping it under 3. Come on now.
Says the offensive lineman.
Ye have little faith with the offensive line. Them dudes are
going with one.
One of the freshmen.
Pessimist. 2 sacks.
All right, Deborah. I'll mark that down. 2 sacks. Jump
in improvement is from week 1 to week 2, but I'm giving them more room to improve after that.
Well, we'll see how that goes. So we're looking forward to that game. Remember, that's an early morning game, and you'll be able to find that on Fox. Kickoff is at 11 a.m. in Austin. And so with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. I want to thank everybody out there who's listening to us. You can find the podcast on iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher, pretty much everywhere you can find podcasts these days. We'll make sure you guys follow us on the Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And, of course, you can sign up for a free membership at killerfrogs.com and discuss TCU athletics with the rest of us, as well as go up there and go ahead and post your score prediction for this weekend's game. And with that, we've come to the end of the podcast, and Hunter's finally back. Hey, Hunter, you ready to get your frogs up? Let's get our frogs up. and go Frogs.
Go Frogs.
Go Frogs. Oh.